from the entertainment capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada, it's Midnight in the Marshaverse, starring Marsha Warfield and her two sons, Stephen Roberts and Gil Hudson, as the problem child.
Good morning, good evening. Welcome to Midnight in the Marshaverse, where we get together every once a week and have some cannabis and cognac and chill out. The Marshaverse is the place where women rule and where real men are cool with that because they know that's the natural order of things. And for that, we praise Jesus. Anyway, before we get started, we have a special guest, and I'm so excited that she can join us. We've worked together quite a few times. You know her as the bad girl of comedy, and she's going to be coming out and share some cannabis and cognac with me. But before we do that, I wanted to go back to what we talked about last week. Last week, we were talking about mentors, and we met my mentor, my longest running mentor, well, one of them, and I had a good time with him. But we didn't get to talk about the mentor who was my father figure. He was one of the biggest influences of my life. I met him once I got to Los Angeles, and he was a little older than the rest of us. He was of my parents' generation. But he kind of took me in as a father figure and mentor. He was a coach. He coached Little League and Pop Warner and football and baseball in his hometown of Philadelphia. And so he had that natural kind of mentorship. And he took me under his wing and was probably one of the most influential people in my life. He's no longer with us. And I don't have any good pictures of him. We didn't take a lot of pictures. We're from a different generation where pictures were special occasions. But Jimmy Cook was a comedian out of St. Louis. And then he moved to Philadelphia. And man, he taught me so much about not just modern show business, but he started in the era of Dick Gregory and Chitlin Circuits. And so he taught me a lot about that. And I just want everybody to know how valuable these kinds of relationships are. And the one thing, well, one of the many things that sticks out, when I was about 26, we were talking, I was talking to Jimmy, you know, we were always talking show business, life, whatever. And I told him that I couldn't remember anybody ever saying, complimenting me. My parents, you know, they didn't compliment. A compliment in my family was if they said, did I say anything? If I didn't say nothing, everything must be all right. So he turned around and looked at me and he said, oh, no, baby, I'm so proud of you. And I burst into tears because at 26 years old, no one had ever told me that they were proud of me. And to have someone who I respect and respected as much as him tell me he was proud of me made my life. And I carry it with me to this day. So if you could be a positive influence to anybody in their life, you know, give it a shot. You never know just how important those little casual comments you might make to them might be. So Jimmy, rest in peace. And I'm glad I had the opportunity to let people know how important you've been to me. Okay, so now let's get on with the cannabis and cognac. Usually I do this by myself, but tonight I have a guest who's going to hang out with me. So before we get to popping bottles and all that kind of stuff, ladies and gentlemen, would you welcome the bad, original bad girl of comedy, who is somewhere around there. Lunel. Hey, hi, Lunell. How you doing, girl?
I got all dressed up for you, Marsha.
I'm so happy you did. It's midnight. You can look any way you want to.
Rod, I don't know who the fuck would think that I would be dressed up at midnight on my off day.
Well, don't worry about it. We're happy to have you just the way you are.
Thank you, Mama.
You are the bad girl of comedy, right?
The original bad girl of comedy.
I want to know, are you a Smokey Robinson kind of, she's not a bad girl because, or are you a Donna Summer kind of beat bad girl?
A Donna Summer.
I could have thought that as I figured that. I'm the Smokey Robinson kind of bad girl.
Okay, well, that's cool.
So what you drinking on?
Well, I have a glass of, actually a champagne in a wine glass.
Okay.
And I just had my favorite group of guys who are my brothers, Manly Hands, was over here, and they gave me the Cleopatra experience because they know I just lost my ex, and they knew him, and they asked, was I in town? And I was like, I am in town. They said, we're in town too. We're going to come take care of you. So the Cleopatra experience is when you get your feet rubbed and your hands rubbed and your neck and head rubbed all at the same time. Now, mind you, I haven't had a threesome since the 70s.
But okay.
This is the kind I can handle right now. So they did that. They also cooked me a beautiful crab leg dinner with Brussels sprouts and shrimp scampi and salmon rolls. I know, it's amazeballs.
I want a Cleopatra. I ain't lost nobody, but I want a Cleopatra. But did they roll you up in a rug and deliver you to Mark Antony or something?
Anyway. I would walk to Mark Antony. No,
anyway.
They did not. But Marsha, I can arrange that for you.
Yeah, well, you know, we can talk. Tonight, I'm going to have some Courvoisier VSOP.
Go ahead, OG.
Pour a little. Paul Mooney taught me how to do cognac.
Paul Mooney taught me a lot of stuff. You from Oakland, you know, that was my homie. Yours as well, of course, mine later.
Yeah, well, you know, Paul was everybody's mentor. He was that kind of guy. And well, I'm smoking on, this is one of my favorite little vape pens. And I have in here a Rove sour apple cartridge. It's not really my favorite, but because it tastes like apples, and weed should taste like weed. But anyway, I'm gonna take a little hit, and then we're gonna keep on going.
Do your thing. I meant to buy a new vape today, but I ran out of time.
Oh, it's all right. You should have called me. I'd have had something delivered to you. Anyway, you mentioned that you just lost somebody very important to you, your ex-husband. Tell us
who will still always be my husband, you know? We didn't have one of those divorces where I can't stand you, motherfucker. I hope I never see you. It wasn't like that.
Well, so, we're going to pour one out for him. We ain't going to actually pour one on the rug.
I'm going to pour it out for him in my mouth.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tell me about him.
He was an electrician. We got married 3 months after we met. I stayed married for like almost 20 years, but I divorced him 8 years ago after I couldn't find a motherfucker for like 11 years. Anyway, but then when I did, he was very, very sick, and I just continued, you know, we stayed like together till the end in that respect, you know.
Well, you have our condolences, all of us here. Keeping you and our thoughts and prayers for those who do, and I hope everything works out well for you.
That's why the boys came today to take care of me. They came over to see about me, and you know that's when you really know your friends when they pull up. When they pull up on you, anybody can text you a old bullshit ass comment or send an emoji with a crying eye or some shit like that. You know, anybody can send fucking money to a bullshit ass GoFundMe. But when they actually pull up and check on you, that means a lot.
And rub your feet. I mean, that's...
I am trying to get them to hire one more person for taint massage.
No. No, that goes with the waxer.
Is that not right?
No, you get that from the wax chick. Anyway.
Think about it.
Anyway, we have had a few experiences together. Like, I met you the night that the LOL Awards, right? Right?
Yes, and we got to ride the bus together, and we were there and received awards together and took pictures together, and you was dressed like a gangster from a 30s movie, and I loved it.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I was being Granny Mac that night.
Yeah, Granny Mac.
But it was the first night out for me after having been off for so long, and to be honored in my kind of re-debut was quite an experience.
Well, Marcia, here's the thing. For those who know, they should know. I remember when Richard had his show Pryor. I remember the scenes that you and Richard Pryor did. I remember that scene you guys did in the restaurant, and you end up kissing and falling on the floor and acting, doing all that kind of wild stuff. And then I remember Night Court when it first started. And I remember you doing stand-up. You're part of my zeitgeist of my comedic history in my head. Okay. Nobody would think that fast forward, you know, 30 years later, we'd be doing a movie together, playing old biddies, which was really, really great working with you. You're the best, like, straight motherfucker with a punch. Like, you play straight, but then the little shit you say, it'd be like, oh, why did I think of that shit? You know what I mean? You got a great shirt on, say, American. Because you're American treasure, and you are Marsha motherfucking Warfield, and bitches better bow down, and I don't care if you make them, I will.
Well, then you come back every week and just hype me up, okay? But, you know, you got your own credits. And by that time, that was about your fourth, fifth movie with Nick Cannon, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you worked with him a lot. How many movies have you done?
I'm not sure. I don't know. If we count the bullshit movies along with the blockbusters, I might have done about 15.
Okay, what was the biggest bullshit movie?
The biggest bullshit movie?
Yeah.
I think School Dance, that Nick also wrote and directed, that had me and Cat Williams and Kevin Hart and Mike Epps and George Lopez and blah, 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 a whole bunch of people, Tiffany Haddish and shit. We was all in that movie, Lil Rel, and everybody was in that movie, and it was really funny, but it was no blockbuster. So it was in that respect, it was bullshit. But it was a great movie. I still love it. I think it's hilarious, and I love it.
My biggest bullshit movie was Can I Do It Till I Need Glasses?
What?
It was, you can't even find it on the midnight movies section in Blockbuster if you could find it.
Not Blockbuster.
Okay. And I played a sperm. And
a sperm?
So did Robin Williams. Robin was one of the sperm.
That sounds like a Woody Allen movie shit.
No, it was Mike Cayley who owned the Laugh Stop. And he had done a movie before called If You Don't Stop It, You'll Go Blind.
Oh, my God.
And so this was the era of, like, when Arsenio did Amazon Women on the Moon and they had these vignette movies. It was one of those, only it was a low budget.
It sounded.
Me.
So what do you think the biggest movie you did was, financially and all that?
The biggest? DC Camp.
Well, good morning, honey. Come on, come on. Come on! Stop meeting like this.
How you going, Albert?
Mr. Harold, I quit. It's the third time this month I've been ripped off by the same punk, and I'm not having it no more.
You can't quit on me, Ophelia. Listen, honey, you're the only good driver I got.
Watch me.
Wait.
I don't work for you no way. I work for some punk and a ski man. I'm going over to Emerald and drive for them.
You're not gonna be happy at Emerald, you know it.
I don't deserve to be this happy.
Get out of here before you get hurt.
All right, all right. We still got that cab with your name on it, Ophelia. I'll wait for you outside, baby.
Get out of here. All
yeah, right.
I say you ain't going nowhere.
That's right. Don't do this now. Have you come this far?
You're dreaming again, Harold. I mean, why don't you wake up and realize that dreams just ain't for people like us?
She got a way, no one can do it like that. Her own style, no one can wear that hat. Hey, don't you know that the queen is back? She's back, she's back. She withstands the test of time. When it comes to strength, she comes to mind. But now she gets back to the
DC Cab.
Yeah.
Y'all remember DC Cab? Yes. You love DC? With Mr. T.
Yes. Yes. That was the craziest set I've ever, even compared to the one we had, me and you together. This was the craziest set we ever
did. My craziest and biggest movie had to be Borat. Good, no doubt about it.
Okay.
And that shit was, I can't, you don't go from Crenshaw and Slauson and 3 days later, jump on a plane to Bucharest, Romania, alone. Clearly, I was insane. But this was, you know, the movie's like 15 years old now. And it was also nominated for Academy Award. But as we all know, the industry does not reward comedies.
Yeah, but our life, this life that has afforded us Round the Way Girls, the opportunity to do things like that is probably the biggest bonus that we have.
You know? It's a flex for sure.
Yeah. So anyway, then we did, we just saw each other at the Netflix brunch.
Yes, they were just talking about the Netflix brunch. My guys were talking about that tonight because that was a flex as well.
Yeah, it was.
Usually I don't get invited to shit like that.
Me either. But to see Sinbad.
And you know what I told him? Because Sinbad, he couldn't walk. He was, you know, he was in a chair. And he was a little slurry and a little slow. However, wasn't he talking shit that night?
Okay, no, he got his faculties. He's ready to roll. He's ready to roll.
I told him I liked him better when he couldn't talk. He talked so much shit.
And do stand up. And I couldn't have been more happy to see him.
Me
but
too.
I also wanted to ask you, because you mentioned him, tell me about Cat.
He gave me opportunity that no other comic has given me, as he took me out on tour on my first tour, then he took me out on tour on my last tour, and nobody else had taken me out on tour, and I do mean nobody.
Okay.
He's been very, 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 very good to me and put a lot of motherfucking money in my pocket and put me in front of audiences that I could not have thought about being in front of. I had not done theaters at the time when I toured with Cat. And we also knew each other from the time when we was all flying on Southwest. So when he got that G6 private plane, honey, and those tour buses and shit.
Yeah, well, I don't know nothing about that. So we'll move on and talk about it.
I'll get a plane one day, Marshall. I'll let you ride.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, I'm going to try to get my own. But
will you let me ride?
Of course, I'll pick you up. We'll ride by your house. I'll do some ghetto shit.
We do got some land you can land a plane on down
swoop
the street.
Swoop in and drop a rope. Come on, girl. Let's go. But let's bring out my problem child.
Yes.
My baby boy.
You told me you call him that too, and I think that's hilarious.
And my love and my heart. Skills, say hello.
Hey.
Skills. To your other mama.
Hey, y'all. Hey, y'all.
How you doing?
I'm good, Mark. What up, fam?
What up, fam?
All right, and I got another child you got to meet. I don't know if you know him.
Okay,
he's
bye.
My oldest child, my responsible child.
Who is that?
He's a comedian, and he's my son. This is Stephen Roberts. Hi, Stephen. Say hi, Lunel.
Hi, Lunel.
Hi, Steven.
How are you?
I'm fine, but I'm about to go.
All right, honey. Well, thanks for dropping by.
I catch you on the flip-flop. Skills, I'll see you on Sunday. Marsha, I love you long time. I'll be back and do the whole hour.
All right. Well, I appreciate you. You're Jimmy Kimmel's on Saturday.
Sundays and Mondays at 9:30. Kimmel's Comedy Club. 9:30.
And yep. Selling out and kicking ass and now getting wrapped up in rugs and massaged.
Who told you that? That's lies and garbage.
You said Cleopatra. Tonight's show is brought to you by Aunt Karen's Banana Mayo Twinkly Masu Pudding Casserole in a Can. Oh boy, this is a dessert your whole family will love. Made with those world-famous sponge cake treats, rice cereal and instant coffee layered with sweetened whipped mayo topping spread all over ripe bananas and fruit cocktail, then covered with jimmies. This no-bake confection is sure to have your subdivision rocking with hordes of sugar-loaded Barbies, Kens, and G.I. Joes riding roughshod over your carefully manicured lawns, scouting for undesirable interlopers for you to report. Which they know is, along with feeding your family quick and delicious meals, your mission in life. So run down to the nearest Family Depot market and pick up a 30-day value variety pack of a month's supplies of delicious casseroles in a can. And remember, Aunt Karen's no-salt, gluten, and flavor-free meals are so good, you might have to call the police on yourself. How y'all doing?
Oh, good, Mark.
All
it's
right.
A little cooler. It's 102.
Oh, so you done cooled off, huh?
Yes.
Okay.
Got my drink.
What you drinking and smoking on, honey?
I got some Tito's and Gatorade. I got some Sativa, and it's 31%.
Ooh, yeah. Well, enjoy. But you, where are the Cheetos? Are they in the Gatorade?
I didn't say no Cheetos. I got some Cheetos and Gatorade. Sorry for the gravelness in my voice, but I meant Cheetos.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much. Steven, I see you with a can of something. What are you drinking?
Canada's Best Canada Dry.
Okay. Yeah. You are not a smoker. You're not an imbiber. You are our designated driver.
Yes.
And I appreciate that. Let's start with our two-minute rant. I'm going to start. And I'm really, really glad to have the opportunity to sound off on this because it's been bothering me for a good 40, maybe 50 years. And that's soft cookies. What the fuck is a soft cookie? Cookies are not supposed to be soft. Cookies are supposed to be crunchy and bite. You don't want to bite into a biscuit and they call that a cookie. It's disgusting. Every cookie I had from the time I was a child, the Salerno cookies, the Girl Scout cookies, they were all crunchy. You could the crunchy coconut cookies. I used to love those. And those windmill cookies, they were crunchy. And then in the 70s, Archway came out with big, fat, soft cookies, and people lost their fucking mind. I don't know why, because that's nasty. You don't like foods to go, except mashed potatoes. That's okay. But cookies and stuff, because there's mashed potatoes are supposed to go, you know, like that. But cookies, so why do they get away with selling raw cookies and calling them soft when it's just you needed 2-3 more minutes in the oven? I think it's like really, you know, the downfall of America is that they fooled us with soft cookies. They didn't even work. It's like those ice cream sandwich cookies, right? That's what's wrong with them. You bite them and ain't no crunch. I don't like them. And I don't care if my 2 minutes ain't up. I'm through. That's mine. 2-minute rant.
I am really, really just over this heat shit. You know what I'm saying? We all here in Vegas. We filming this here in Vegas. And we all know that it's been hot. And it's just been ridiculous. It's just like every day, you know, like I don't even look at the forecast no more. I already know it's going to at least be over 100. And that's ridiculous. We grew up in summertime where if you got 100, you might get you a couple of 100 days in that whole summer course. We getting hundreds every day. Y'all got vehicles. I am a walker. I have to be out in the heat. People say, well, you got that melanin. What the fuck that supposed to mean? It still burn. It's still hot. It's still, and then these doors, every door in Vegas should have an oven mitt on it, but they don't have an oven mitt on it. Some of them have wrought iron. Now you got a damn near burn, get a third degree grass to just walk in there to get a squisher or a blunt or one of those little pills if you want to keep your shit up. Whatever you went in the store for, you know what I'm saying? Now you don't burn your shit.
When I go in there looking for those, I just...
Yeah, man. You know what I'm saying? You don't burn your shit up. So I'm just really over this hotness. Again, people, especially older people, you know what I'm saying, give me advice. Once you get this little cool thing, that, no, I don't want contractions. I just want the weather to go down. I don't want to be walking outside with contractions. People are walking outside with little contractions. You know you can go on Amazon to get this, and you can turn it on for cooling. Then when it gets cool outside, you can turn it for heat. I don't want that shit. I just want cool it down.
Okay, well, we're going to try to work on that. Just fuck buying you something that'll help you get through it. Change the shit.
Fuck buying me? What?
Well, you don't want the shit that might help you get through the bad weather, the hot weather. You want the weather to change.
Yes.
People's behavior in baggage claim has gone off the rails. Like, who do you think this is? What do you think this is? Do you think this is, you know, a competition? Why can't you just wait? If I were in charge, mm-hmm. I would make everybody, I would put a line around the bag
conveyor
carousel, the bag uh-huh. carousel. I put a line around it and make everybody stand two places back behind the line. And when you see your bag, then you have to raise your hand. And you have to ask if you can go across the line. And then when somebody says you can, then you go. Because nobody can like behave themselves. Why do you have to stand with your knees touching the damn thing and you're right there, but there's 15 people behind you who their bag has come down, but you're going to stay right there until you get your bag? Why can't you move out of the way politely? Why? And by the way, uh-huh. I'll be the person that tells who gets to cross a line and who does not.
I had no doubt that you. But I'm going to give you just one word that might help you in these situations.
Oh, dear.
Elbows.
Oh.
Just
see,
remember.
I don't want to. Why should I have to? I told you, it's like Gladiator on that thing. Why?
One old lady, you pow, and you won't have any more problems. You probably won't be allowed to fly anymore. So there you go.
Problem solved.
The problem solved. I'm a fixer at heart. Somebody tried to shoot the former president.
What are you doing, Skills?
He's got a Band-Aid on his ear.
I just got a cut, man.
Somebody shot at the former president.
Oh,
and my question.
Why did I not get that?
I don't know. My question is, why didn't the people behind him scatter? I'm from Chicago. If we hear gunshots, if we hear a car back up, if we hear anything, a balloon pop that sounds like a pop, we do not stand around and wait to see what happened. We do not look to see who fell, because that person will probably get trampled as we run the fuck away from the sound of the bullets. Them people stood there like this. They didn't move. How come? That bothers me. Look, did you notice that?
Look, yes, and look, that was my debate with a person that's an avid Trump supporter, right? Last night after the show, and this was what their rebuttal was. They said, because they're military, they're ex-military. They said that most of those people behind him go to ranges and what's the name, and they are desensitized to certain, to like gunshots and everything. So that was, he said that was the reason why they did. I'm like, but that's the way he said it. He said that those people, yeah, I know.
You don't have to worry on the gun range because everybody's shooting that way. But if you hear bullets coming from that way, you're going to move. You're going to get the fuck up out of there or try to go get that person who's shooting the wrong way. And this was, you see somebody fall in front of you and you done heard pop, pop, bang, bang. I'm getting the fuck, I don't care if I had to knock everybody down. I'm going away from the, but that's the way we did in Chicago. You know, it's not.
I think it's blinded. Adoration. What's it? Adoration.
Actually blind. It's just stupid.
Yeah, look at that thing back years ago in Waco, Texas, when those people, 90 people in under that guy that was, you know, was a cult leader or something, Davians or something, and all those people believed in him and that, you know what I'm saying, and they lost their lives basically, you know what I'm saying? Those people who was standing, that's how they basically, like they, you see, like everybody back there would have took the bullet for them.
Well, that's a cult. So now, are you talking about these people are a cult?
That's how they act.
Okay. Well, it just confused me, and I know people were talking about conspiracy theories and all that kind of stuff, and I'm not really one way or the other who did what to who. I know that's an awful big bullet to get a little cut that needs a big bandage 2 days later. It just don't make sense.
They got so much information coming out. You know, I've seen some where it said that some part of his ear is blew off, but we ain't seen no pictures of the ear blew off. But that was a report out there that the top of his ear is blew off. But what we see, we just see redness.
That's but the same also, guy who held the Bible upside down, who stared at the sun in an eclipse, who has been known, who lied about how many people was at his inauguration. There is a healthy bit of skepticism built into anything he says, as far as I'm concerned, because he has so bodaciously lied. And Biden finally said that when they interviewed him recently about his bad debate. He said, yeah, I had a bad debate. But did you hear what the fuck he said? Did you hear all them lies he said? And I'm like, yeah, finally, it's about time that somebody mentioned the fact that they just let the man lie over and over and over again and kept grilling Biden on shit he hadn't said wrong. So anyway, I can get really worked up over that kind of thing, but it just seems weird to me. It seemed weird to me when I saw it that people did not scatter in the wake of gunfire. The song, we have a song today. You know what it is?
Mm-hmm, I do.
You do? It's your favorite song, isn't it?
It's my favorite song ever.
What is it?
Hoochie Mama. Hoochie Mama.
You know that song, right?
People from Texas. Those are Hoochie Mamas in Texas.
You heard Marvin C sing Hoochie Mama. Hoochie. Hoochie Mama. Stephen loves that song. He says, New York got hoochie mamas. Nevada got hoochie mamas. And Stephen just loves that.
And I like it when he goes, because he can't get to all the states, or he doesn't know all the states.
Right.
And he goes,
even in your home state.
In even your state. In your home state.
They got hoochie mamas.
What's the name of the artist?
Marvin Sees.
How do you spell Sees? C E E S
E A S E.
Okay.
Marvin Sees.
May I
he
just
also had a song called Candy Liquor.
Whoa.
Oh, I did. I wanna be your candy liquor.
See? See, he's not a subtle man, but he got anyway. I want to give you, because I trust you and I love you, I want to give you, gentlemen, my sons, the opportunity right now, off the top of your head, to ask me anything.
I've got one for you.
All right.
Best day of your life.
Ooh, the best day of my life. Best what? Day of my life was when Angie and I eloped.
That wasn't too long ago.
August 7th, 2023. And we just finally got, we ran out of arguments. We kept saying, we're going to go get married today? Yeah. And then we would go get ice cream or something. Well, what about today? We're going to do it. And finally, all right. Either we're going to do it today or we're not going to do it at all. So in about 4 PM, we went and signed up, got married, got the papers. And just between us, it was nobody else knew. And we had no friends witness. It was just the two of us. And so I have to say, and it came at a time when my sister was dying. And it was kind of like, you know, it was a bright spot in a bad time. And so that would have to be probably the best day in my life so far. Even though doing night court on my 70th birthday was pretty special. Being brought up on stage by Richard Pryor was pretty special. And having my mentor tell me he was proud of me was special. And getting to Los Angeles on my own at 22 was really special. I've been lucky. I've had a lot of special. And the night I went on stage the first time and the light shone down and all of that was special. Then I met you guys. I mean, I've had a lot of really good days. Today was a good day. All right, Skill. You lick it up enough to ask me anything, so.
Okay. Who's your favorite comedy son?
Who's my favorite comedy son?
Wow. 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 Wow.
I'd have to say Josh Johnson.
Who's that?
What? Who the fuck? Who the fuck is that? Wait a minute. Who the fuck is that?
You've had God other babies.
Yeah, we know.
Yes, you do. He don't even know. He don't even know.
It's some bullshit.
I saw him. Don't ask me no fucking gotcha question and then get mad when you don't get it. You know me better than that now. If you know, you call me mom, you knew better than to do that. Anyway, you
I got another question. What's the farthest place you've traveled?
It's either Hawaii or Rio.
Rio is farther.
And it's Rio. Andy and I.
Oh, all right, let's talk about the Rio right here. You talking about
Not that Rio. We went to Rio de Janeiro for our for Angie's birthday, and. And the anniversary of when we met. We met in January. So we went to Rio this January. So that's leading me to my next question.
Lynn Whitfield.
Okay. We're going to have to let her know that.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
What is it about Lynn Whitfield?
Dang, we got that access. We got that. But yeah, when I seen Thin Line Between Love and Hate with her and Martin, it just how she carried herself in that character. Just her whole sexiness and dominance. And like how you started to show off, you were saying about like men that don't mind women that don't, that can control, can, you know, take charge and everything. And, you know, and being that, like, I grew up around a lot of women, strong women in my family, period, that, you know, when I seen something like that, that was, I was always attracted to older women. And she was one of those ones that I would be locked away by myself and be like, yeah.
Okay. How about Angela Bassett?
That's, yeah.
I thought so. People often, I'm sure when there's a call that goes out for a character that they both fit, that they get sent out on the same calls. They're not the same at all, but they could be sisters.
Look, well, the quick story I have about her is this had to be at least about 9 years ago, and I was doing a show at Janthony Brown Club, the J Spot in LA. And Janthony Brown, he was hosting. And right before he brought me up, he said, I got a special guest in the audience, and it was her, and she was so incognito. She had a real big hat on. You know, she's small, she's short, you know what I'm saying? And you know, and she had these, well, boy, when she stood up, I knew who it was.
Okay.
That body. Ooh, little bow leg. But yeah.
I'm sure she'll be happy to hear this, and we'll probably make a little clip and send it to her so she knows that she has a fan in you for life.
Yes.
Steven.
Yes.
Hello.
You got a weekend pass.
Yes.
Anybody in the world you can have for that weekend.
Okay. 1984 version of Cary Elwes. So Cary Elwes was the Pirate Roberts in Princess Bride. Do you remember that movie, Princess Bride?
That's your weekend pass?
Oh, yes, for sure. But he doesn't exist anymore. So if I had to do something today, it would be Timothy Chalamet.
Can you name somebody we know? I don't know none of these people.
Timothy Chalamet, do you know that the movie Dune?
Okay, vaguely.
He's
name
the star
somebody
man.
Black there.
Oh. How dare you?
No,
I'm sorry.
All right, let's flip the question and to both of y'all. If you could, a black person, you could have a weekend pass with Steve.
You know what? I don't know his name. I'm looking right now. Make skills go next.
Okay. All right, who's a white person, white woman that could get it?
I would, but she's not white. I would go say Selma Hammett. Selma Hammett. Is okay, yeah, but she's not white. She's nice.
She's white adjacent. Okay, well, I guess that's gonna have to be. Well,
hold on.
Oh, Nikki Glaser.
Nikki Glaser.
Yeah, she can get it.
She's a comedian.
Yeah.
All right. Did you find him yet?
Hold on. Michael Ealy. Michael Ealy.
Okay, I know who that is.
Wait a minute. He's in the news right now for picking up Megan Good in front of her boyfriend. Hugging her and picking her up in front of her boyfriend, Jamar, what's his name? Mr. Neighbors, the guy from Jonathan Majors. Yeah. That, you know, like when you see somebody you ain't seen. Michael Ealy, they just did a movie together, him and Megan Good. Megan Good is in a relationship with Jonathan Neighbors or Majors.
Major.
And so, Majors. So when Michael Ealy hugged her he hugged her and picked her up like this. And then he didn't acknowledge, he started shaking other people's hands.
I was going to say, hug him and pick him up too?
No, but it was just people like,
How you gonna disrespect like that?
You know, people said, "In no way you post my woman feet post to leave the ground."
Oh, that's a standard now. Is that on the Hallmark card or something like?
Yeah,
disrespect a man's woman or something.
Yeah, yeah, my woman feet when you if y'all hugging, her feet better not leave the ground.
Well, what if she takes off and runs toward him and then jumps up and wraps her legs around him? Is that?
Oh, it's over. she might want to stay in that position.
But who are you mad at in that situation, him or her?
Her. Not him. I ain't mad at him. He the receiver. She the one ran and jumped.
Go straight to her.
But that situation, Michael Ealy, he did the. She like cause she when she went up, she did that like you know that move some women to do. She like held her hat and was like,
So she wasn't upset about it. She was amenable to it. It was cool.
Yeah, yeah, but you could see like it bothered him. Like he had his what's the name? He playing with his glasses and doing this shit like he don't see it.
So what would you do? You with your woman, and here comes Michael Ealy, and he grabs her and lifts her up off her feet. What you gonna do?
Oh, you know, I'm gonna be funny about it, but I'm like, feet on the ground.
All right.
And then I will tell her later when we talk. I was like, hey, my bad. This is my bad. We didn't have this talk, so let's have this now. When we're out in public and we see people that we've known or been in situations before we are met, and I understand that happens, feet stay on ground. Let's make that.
All right, now, but turn it around. Here comes Cutie Pie with the packed booty, and she runs up to you and goes, "Skew!" and throws herself in your arms, and you standing next to you.
Oh, good. I know how to throw this arm up.
Strong arm the girl.
Elbows again.
Okay.
You two and your elbows.
That's what you gonna do?
If they coming in hot, I'm right here with it.
All right.
Because I don't been busted too many times in my lifetime in situations. Don't have stuff on, like just from hugging a chick, and I ain't even do nothing. And then I get home, and I got glitter all on the side of my face. And now the person I'm with just now don't make this whole story in their head that I've been making love to a chick for 45 minutes. That's the only way I got that much glitter on my face is the only way, because you've been passionately digging somebody out for 45 minutes.
I don't like to answer questions like if I had a weekend pass, because I would never get a weekend pass from my wife. That's just not going to happen. And so if I
did, that's not fair, Ma. That's not fair. That's not fair how you set it up. Look, you see how she set it up? Now, we could have did that too. If I significant others see
our relationship in the that's not my fault. You don't know how to use it. Just be quiet and take the lesson. This is how you do that. I love my wife, and so it's hard for me to entertain these kind of questions. But since it's all theoretical and just for shiggles, you know, then if I had a weekend pass with anybody in the world, y'all better lock up Johnny Jackson. That's all I got to say. Just lock up Johnny Jackson, because if you come up missing, you know I got that weekend pass. Escalators. I don't like stairs much anyway. I feel like if you have room for two stairs, you should put in an elevator, because we should have handicapped spaces that are not handicapped, adult, real grown spaces for old people that just are accessible. Because it's not like getting on stage in some of these clubs. I have to jump up on the stage because it's the people younger can get on easy. But me, it takes a real effort. They have to pull me up on stage, and somebody, the host is pulling me, and the people behind it like pushing my butt to get on stage. That's just too much. So if you have enough for two stairs, put in an elevator and not an escalator, because you can fall off an escalator. I need walls when I go up. And so I don't like stairs, and I don't like that. My fear is escalators, and not escalators going down, escalators going up. I refuse to take escalators going up, even if it's like just nine steps. I'm going to take that elevator.
When I did used to drive, I did not like at all if when you're going around a curve, any curve, if a truck is by you, any of those 18-wheelers, I hated that. You know what I'm saying? And see, I usually try to speed pass, but like if there's a car that wanted just now in the speed lane or whatever lane that I'm in, want to try to block me in, motherfucker, let me by. I don't want to be caught up in this, because especially like because that curve, it just always seems like it's pushing in. The curve, as I'm going around it, it seems like it's getting thinner and thinner. And then the truck seems like it want to just push you in. Let me out, motherfucker. Let me go around the curve, please.
Okay.
That's why I ride the bus now.
It would be the dentist when I have to get more than just a cleaning. I go crazy, and they give me hard drugs for that.
Really?
Yep. Yep. Because I was in a wreck when I was a little boy. I was in a bicycle accident. I was like 8, and I went over the handlebars face first, and then my mouth and my nose hit the asphalt first.
Ow!
Yeah. And so I went. So they called the dentist. It was a Sunday, and they called the dentist, and he met us there, and then he did some work. And then I had to go to the emergency room and have my chins stitched up. And so what I've been told is that I'm having PTSD from that accident because of all the stuff that happened.
Right.
And I go, so one time they called me and said, you can't take all those drugs before you come because the dentist needs you to bite down. And if you're too drugged up, you won't be able to bite down accurately. And so I was like, I got to take something. And they said, okay, take half of a half of Xanax. And I was like, okay, that's what I'll do. So I took half of a half, a quarter, and I went and I ended up bawling. And the dentist was even drying my eyes with a Kleenex, and I was supposed to have a cleaning after. And he goes, what we're going to do is you're going to go home. You're going to have a sandwich or lunch or whatever. And then you're going to take two more of these and then you're going to come back and then we'll see you again. I was like, I told you.
Well, we all have something, you know, yes. We all have something.
And I'm afraid of the dark too.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
You sleep with the light on?
No, because I have a husband next to me.
Okay.
Yeah, that helps.
But you don't like the dark.
I don't like to be walking around in the dark, especially outside. I just it'll you know, I'm old enough that I can control it and do what I got to do. But my blood pressure goes up.
Well, I don't like daytime. I don't like daytime. I only go out in daytime if I have to. And so these times when I can get together with you guys and our special guests like Linnell, and we can have some cannabis and cognac and talk smack and all that kind of stuff are special to me. And I thank you so much for being here. And now we've had a great discussion this week. And I look forward to seeing you next week where we'll talk about more stuff.
Love you,
Thank
Mom.
You so much. And if you enjoyed the show, if you liked it, didn't like it, however you feel about it, subscribe, comment, like, share. tell everybody, tell your friends, and come back and see us again. Thank you all. And Earlene in the booth, thank you too. Good night.
Got a way no one can do it like that. Her own style, no one can wear that hat. Hey, don't you know that the queen is back? She's back, she's back. She withstands the test of time. When it comes to